The epistle appointed to be read for this, the third Sunday after Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Brethren, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires which war against the soul. Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans, that whereas they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as sent through him for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise of the good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as free men, yet not using your freedom as a cloak for malice, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Subjects, be subject to your masters in all fear, not only to the good and moderate, but also to the severe. This is indeed a grace in Christ Jesus our Lord, and the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and you shall see me no longer. And again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, "What is this he says to us? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me, and I go to the Father." They kept saying, therefore, "What is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he is saying." But Jesus knew that they wished to ask him, and he said to them, "You inquire about this among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me.' Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman about to give birth has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has brought forth the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for her joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, in today's bulletin, it is plainly obvious that we are focusing our attention on our recent ordination. And these are some rather telling pictures, and I would like for you very much to meditate on just what these pictures have to tell you, to tell us. They tell us a great deal. They're not just a matter of just information, but they tell you somewhat of the importance of the priesthood. I'm told by some of our people who went to the ordination, and in that particular church of the bishop, there is the balcony overhead goes all around, U-shaped, goes all the way up to the altar. And it was fortunate for our people to be up at the very front of this balcony, just literally overlooking the priest and the altar and everything that was going on at that place and time. And heaven knows what they had to say. They were awed by what they saw. Because from where you normally sit, where we normally sit down here, we do not see what's going on at the altar. And it's awesome to those who can see. So they had certainly a perfect view of everything that was happening, plus what was going on at the ordination too. And one of the parts of the ceremony, which is not normally observed in most places, but it is an ancient tradition and one that is followed in, shall we say, in some of the less advanced people of earth. This tradition is that the priest goes down, and where it's necessary for reasons of the ceremonial, for the ordination, the priest goes down with a cloth draped over his hands, and it is his mother who ties the priest's hands. It is the mother of the priest who ties the priest's, her son's, hands. There will be no catechism class this morning because, of course, it's the first Sunday. And also because of that, there will be no Sunday Vespers and Benediction today. Here in this little bowl, for those who may not be familiar with it, we have the little tiny palm crosses, as we have every year. And these crosses have got three blessings upon them. The first one is put upon these little crosses on Palm Sunday itself. Then the second blessing is put on these crosses on the feast of St. Peter the Hermit, St. Peter the Martyr, has various titles, who is a protector, especially for occasions of storm and danger and damage and so forth. And the third blessing and final blessing is placed on these crosses. On this one, the second blessing is April the 29th on the feast of St. Peter. The third blessing is placed on these crosses on May the 3rd, which is the feast of the finding of the true cross. And now they are ready for distribution. Take them. They're there for us. All of us, take them. A good little custom that can be done, you can take these little crosses and take aluminum foil, perhaps, and simply carefully wrap them up in aluminum foil, then bury them around your house. They're sacramentals, certainly blessed and have plenty of blessing, and our protection. These are the little things that make our faith so loving. Help yourselves. They're there to be taken. This morning, after this Mass, the little children who are going to make their first communion next Sunday will today make their first confession. And the parents should be particularly aware of this and give the little children as much consolation, as much encouragement as possible. Next Sunday in this church, of course, the little children will make their first communion. And we will also have at the same time in this Mass next Sunday the crowning of the Blessed Mother. It is Mother's Day. And on that day, we give honor and glory and praise to our Mother. The assignments for Corpus Christi, at least this is the first appearance of the assignments. We will not publish them every Sunday. For those particularly who have assignments, if for some reason you are unable to keep your assignment for that day, please see me as soon as possible, and I will give the job to someone else. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, two things I mentioned today, already this morning. One has to do with our children. First confession, first communion. And the other has to do with the crowning of the Blessed Mother on Blessed Mother's Day. These are certainly moments of great significance and very important affairs that we must attend to. To one who does not believe, to one who does not care to believe, these events, these affairs, make absolutely no sense. They're silly, they're worthless, and things that old maids and old women spend time with. These are not things that we worry about in our great and advanced culture of our world. Therefore, they make no sense. For these to make sense, it requires that we exercise the elements of our faith. We must believe. Without believing, there's no use. Our holy religion depends on our faith and what our faith tells us to do. We have to be aware of our spiritual condition. We are aware of our physical condition, are we not? We are very much concerned about the health of our heart, the health of our stomach, the health of our head, the brains, or whatever. These are conditions, physical conditions, which are really, really important, and of which and for which we show great concern. But does not the body then go into a state of corruption eventually, inevitably? So our concern and the importance of these conditions of the physical nature are really of less significance than the condition of the elements that give health, spiritual health, to our soul. The condition of honesty is something that we little think about. We've been speaking about this the last few weeks. Remember, we've been talking about hypocrisy. And Father, who hears the confession, says, "What have you said about hypocrisy?" Everybody that comes in confession has something to say about hypocrisy. But we have been speaking of this. We don't think about it. The condition of our purity, of life, of soul, is a condition. The condition of our prayer life, the condition of our humility, the condition of our obedience, and it goes on, the condition of our charity, and so on, and so on. These are all condition, vital, a condition of vital signs in our spiritual life. These vital signs have no effectiveness unless and until we view them with the condition of honesty in us. Honesty in us is what gives life and health to all of our spirit of humility, obedience, etc., etc. Just as the blood within us gives health to our mind, our brains, our stomach, our hearts, or whatever, whatever, whatever. Without the blood, there's death. Without honesty, there is death. A greater death, a worse death than the death of the body. How often have we said in here and at this point that one can be perfectly obedient in every way, shape, or description. One can show perfect humility. One can show perfect moderation and such like. And yet, that one can go to hell. Why? Because that one was not honest. Honest with himself, honest with his neighbor, and more than anything else, honest with his God. Did our Lord not himself say, it's not going to be him who cries out, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but him who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many of us know the book definition of humility. Many of us know the book definition of purity or of honesty or whatever. But unless and until purity, honesty, obedience, humility, and all the other virtues, unless they become healthy conditions of me, I'm sick. I'm very, very, very sick. But the worst part of it all is, that I do not know that I am so sick. And so I continue in the ways that I proceed. Unfortunately, the feeling of pride, unfortunately, the feeling of dishonesty, of disobedience, or impurity, whatever name of anyone you wish, unfortunately, those are all, because they are spiritual, I do not feel dishonesty. I do not feel impurity. I do not feel disobedience. And they proceed on and grow and grow. And my sickness becomes forever worse until there is no repair. My beloved people, I said a moment ago that many of the things that we say here at this place, at this point, especially to the mind of modern man, make absolutely no sense. And why? Because modern man, more than any time ever before, is so totally filled with self that he has no time to think about such items. The modern man is today, which I think today it can be safely said, that our worst ism today is materialism. Materialism is something that in reality affects us all. It's in the drinking water, it's in the air we breathe, it's every place. And our concern is things. And we put them in front of the more important thing, the health condition of that which counts. The health condition of me. My wealth, my blood pressure, my power, my stomach, or whatever else I can mention. The health condition of those things absolutely have no significant importance on me. It is the life condition of my spirit, which is me, that I must go after first and foremost. And this is what we must bring to the attention of our little children. But does it occur to you, parents, that things have gotten to be such today that you, I can say this you because it's you, fortunately, those of us on this side of the altar rail is not you in this case. Does it ever occur to you, my beloved people, that you do not have as much control over your children as you like to believe that you do? I said a moment ago, materialism is in the air we breathe, it's in the water we drink, whatever else you can think of. The destruction of the innocence of our children is worse. It's in the drinking water. It's in the air. It's every place. It's before them, morning, noon, and night, even when you don't know about it. Watch your children. Give your children proper direction. Better yet, give your children proper example. Place importance where importance is. Next Sunday, we give honor to our mother, our blessed mother, and our earthly mother. If next Sunday, ladies, because I have to speak to the ladies, though I'm not. Please, always take what I say in the big picture, all right? Don't isolate it and take individual snapshots of something that I say and run off and say, this is what he teaches, this narrow, constricted idiocy. Take the whole picture, not just a portion of it. If next Sunday, while we are sitting in our pews, saying our prayers and meditating, then it so happens that the door opens and among other people, our Blessed Mother walks in. And we turn and look at her, ladies, mothers. How much like her do we look? I don't mean physically. How much like her do we act? How much like her disposition is our disposition? How much is her humility like our humility? She walks in. And she takes her seat quietly, unobserved, and gives honor to her God. Can you imagine Mary running around the streets or any place whatever, screaming, shrieking whatever she has to scream or shriek about that she wants to get done, wherever and however and whenever? Can you imagine this woman raising her voice that is entirely unwomanly? Can you imagine this woman on a fire truck . Can you imagine this woman climbing telephone poles in order to show whatever on God's earth she wants to show? Can you imagine that? And if she would do that, if we would catch her off guard doing just that, Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, if we ourselves would be standing off at a distance looking at her screaming and shrieking and whatever else seems to be the way of life today, we would see her doing that. What effect would that have on the onlooker, the mother of Christ doing that? And yet, just as our Lord said, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Could we not perhaps also hear Mary saying, learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart? Can we not imagine this being true? You see, our religion in many cases, God forbid in here, but so often in many cases, our religion is cosmetic. Our humility is cosmetic. It's a paste that we cover our faces with in order to cover up the ugly pimples of pride. Our prayer is cosmetic. It covers up the ugly pimples of worldliness and goes on and on and on. I've told you, we don't have time to beat around the bush. If heaven is our destination, if heaven is our intended destination, then if it happens to be east, then we have to travel in an easterly direction. We will not get there by traveling in a westerly direction. It makes no sense. But in today's world, we have the idea that we can travel westerly in order to get east. That makes sense. But protecting the condition, the spiritual condition of my soul doesn't make sense. That's where we are. Why? Because the soul today is not important. Our religion today is unimportant. Or at least our religion is cloaked with argument and debate and this, that, thing, and the other, which mean absolutely nothing as far as the salvation of my soul. God is not going to give me an intelligence test when I approach him at the moment of death. Only one question. In its ramifications, that I will be asked, that question will be, do you love me? And depending on my answer, which then I will be faced with the absolute, infallible importance of honesty, I will have to answer him in terms of honesty, the like of which I have never in life observed. Good people and bad people alike. That is the moment of telling. Do you love me? Do you not understand, or have you not understood, that I placed you in that particular location for the purpose of loving me? Have you, or have you not? What have you done? Oh yes, you prayed. But why did you pray? You were obedient. But why were you obedient? You went to church on Sunday. But why did you go to church on Sunday? And the questions go on and on and on. Under the one heading of, did or do you love me? My beloved people, what does it take in life for just this one thought to sink into our rock-hard heads. And just look at the argumentation that we use to justify why I happen to be in this location at the wrong time, or why I did this other thing in this way, or why I don't observe the rules of my church, or the law that which are the laws of God, why I did not hate, why I did not commit adultery, why I did not steal, why I did not lie, or why I did lie, did I justify it, or why I did steal, and I justify, and so on. My beloved people, this is where we have to take a real serious inventory of things. At the moment of death, all of my cocky self, I will no longer be thumping my chest in the importance of me when I am in the presence of Him who made me, when I am in the presence who measured out the amount of life that I am to have, and when I am in the presence of Him who says, now, and I must obey. Death is the greatest teacher on earth, and we have to listen to the words of death. So, my beloved people, as we move on in this wonderful, wonderful world of ours, let us put first things first. Let us, and I have to quit, let us put first things first. Let us show our children where our religion really belongs and where our religion really is. Again, it's just inevitable for me to keep from hammering on this, because all during the week we get letters from all over, every place. We get the telephone here. I was told by someone just the other day, this is the busiest telephone I've ever seen in my life, and it is. People are worried. They're scared. And they hear all these ungodly things, all these ungodly clouds and winds and tornadoes and hurricanes, etc., 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 that go around disturbing the peace of their consciences and their minds. This is not what pertains to God. My love will overcome. And as I look about, and I don't exclude my own family, what little there's left of it, who is it in here that does not have a sword and a knife in his or her heart concerning a mother or a father or a son or a daughter or an uncle or an aunt or a brother or a sister? Who doesn't care about what we're talking about? And to whom what we're talking about makes no sense. It is for their sake that we must pray. You will see here a young man and a young lady by the grace of God, stepped beyond this cord only yesterday. May it please God to give them the grace always to stay there. And what is one of their principal purposes, together with ours, together with yours? We are one family, I hope. To do penance, sacrifice, mortification for those others around and about us who do not understand and who do not care to understand. This is our work. I cannot say your work as though you're separate from us. No, it is our work. You belong to this work as we belong to this work. And it is a work, a serious work, which we cannot. We simply, what part of cannot do we not understand? Which we simply cannot turn our faces away from it. So help me, God.